And thank you for standing by. I'd like to remind all participants today's conference is being recorded. If you have any objections, you may disconnect at this time. You may begin.
Thanks. We'll do our usual routine where we spend a couple of minutes on the agenda and then do the roll call after the remaining folks have had a chance to dial in. The agenda is up in the corner of the meeting view for those of you that are on. And it's also in email. I sent it along with the fabulous video of Music Night. anybody, I mean, basically this is a pretty process-oriented call where we sort of hammer out the details of the next 3 weeks. We'll have a conversation about lots of that. And that's, at least for me, that's it. If we have time left over, the leftover time is yours to dispose of as you want. But mostly I just want to spend a minute sort of sorting us out in terms of what's going to happen over the next few weeks and getting that started. So any additions, changes that people would like to see to that agenda? Aside from accolades for Roberto's sax playing.
Mikey?
Yeah, hi, go ahead.
Hey, it's Jeff Eckhouse. For myself, and I don't know if anybody else, I'm actually moving today, so I'm running around, so I don't have the Adobe Connect. Is it possible for you to read off the agenda for myself and maybe some others who don't have the Adobe Connect in front of them?
Yeah, sure, I can do that. So the agenda is... do you have, Jeff, do you have email? Can you run back and pick off a copy of that little pitch that I sent out a couple of days ago about the
plan? Oh, I have that, yeah.
Okay. Good, because if not, if anybody is missing that, send up a flare and I will send you another copy, because that's the main document that we're going to work off of today. But the agenda is take a look at that document, review it, then, presuming it's all right, identify editorial leaders for each of the major proposals, including Tag 4, identify minority viewpoints that aren't reflected in the major proposals, and figure out how and where they can be addressed. This is sort of a follow-up to Avery's post to the list earlier today. And any other business. I mean, it's a really short agenda. So,
can I ask one more question then? Sorry.
Go ahead.
How did we, I know that this, hopefully I'm not opening up a can of worms here, but how are we identifying the majority opinions? I don't want to bring the, is it, you know, because a lot of people maybe weren't at the meetings or weren't able to attend in person.
Yeah.
So how are we gauging what the minority opinions, what the majority opinions are?
Let's save that one for the actual content part of the call, because I think that's...
Okay, sure. That's no problem. Just because I was just a little concerned that we... I don't want to put things in, and further to Aubrey's note, put things in saying, oh, this is a majority opinion, this is a minority one.
Right.
I don't know if we have a certain standard that we've set. But that's it.
Yeah, we do have a standard that as I walk through this thing, I think it'll...
Okay, I'll put myself on mute and let you roll.
That's fine. Any other questions about the agenda? Okie dokie. Glenn, why don't you call the roll and we'll get going.
I'll do that for you, Mikey. We have on the call Siva Mutitsami, Cheryl Langdonor, Sebastian Bachelot, Wadwin Shombi, Mikey O'Connor, Volker Greiman, Krista Papak, Jeffrey Eckhouse, Roberto Gaetano, Jeff Newman, Avery Doria, Amadeo Abril, Michele Nilon, Alan Greenberg, Barry Cobb, Staten Hammock, Steve Pinkos, Ron Andruff, Tim Ruiz, Milton Mueller, Keith Drazak, Scott Austin, John Nevitt, Ken Stubbs, Jason Frakes, Brian Cute, and for staff, we have Mike Supka, Dan Halloran, Margie Milam, Liz Gaster, and myself, Glenda Saint-Gervais. Thank you very much, Mikey.
Thanks, Glenn.
Over to you.
Okay, so the staff has the majority.
All right. Roberto asked a question to me, and I was planning on a 1.5-hour call, but if we run short, that's fine with me. So in terms of timing, for those of you who are wondering how long the call is, it's our normal 1.5 hours with no particular reason to force it to that length. The chat is fascinating. For those of you who are not on Adobe Connect, we may have hit a new peak for chat.
Mikey, I missed that. A new high or a new low, did you say?
I think peak is the place I'm staying, and I'm not moving off of that. So if you go to the second page of the little – you can all run the little presentation yourself. It's not slave to mine. I don't want to dwell on this page just yet. Basically, it's the dates and deadlines page. There's some movement possible in these dates, but I haven't been able to connect with the right folks to announce that movement yet. So we're going to stick with this schedule, at least for today's call, and know that I'm working hard to buy us a little bit more time, because this is, as you know, a very tight schedule. And so my hope is that we will get a little bit more time, but I haven't been able to connect with the folks who can give me the wiggle room, so we're going to stick with that. And I want to roll instead to the next page, which is the approach where it basically starts with a list of atoms, and I've given you kind of a starter kit.
Yeah. Mikey, Ken has his hand up.
Oh, I'm sorry. Go ahead, Ken. I wasn't watching the queue. Ken, are you on mute, maybe?
Yeah, Mike, I had a timeline question, but if you want to pass on that, I want to distract his point.
Let me go through the approach first, and then we'll for sure come back to the timeline. I think it will make more sense if folks...
Well, the only reason I won't say pushing a question is because I did hear in the list of people who were attending the call that we had a couple of the ICANN legal staff people, and at least they might be available
for
research for us. I thought I heard Dan Halloran's name mentioning. I'm not certain, but we'll worry about it later on then.
Yeah. Dan, maybe you and I can touch bases either at the end of the call or right after the call. Would that be okay?
Yeah, sure.
Yeah, terrific. Thanks. And thanks for the heads up, Ken. That's very helpful. I actually want to go not to the harms just yet. I want to skip those. I want to go to the third page, the fourth page, according to Adobe Connect, where, you know, basically what we came out of Brussels saying was we wanted to focus on those atoms around which we have agreement and put those forward as our report. But Roberto and I got strong and enthusiastic requests from various members of the council and the board that we go ahead and document the two major proposal constellations, whatever you want to call them, that came out of the Brussels meeting, starting on Saturday and then progressing through the week. Even though we don't have consensus on the atoms within those proposals, there was strong enthusiasm that we document those and continue to refine them, continue to try and work them closer together if we can. And that's part of the reason why we're working to buy us some more time because the negotiation really isn't over yet. We've got several dimensions of the negotiation that need to get worked on. One is trying to draw these two proposals closer together. And the other is the point that Avery raised, which is we've got, I think, in some cases, atoms that are missing, and in other cases, minority viewpoints that haven't really had enough of an airing in the two sort of mainline proposals. And so there's the need to kind of finish that off to the extent that we can. So that's kind of it for this page. So maybe I'll take questions about this and then move on to the next one. John, you're first.
Thanks, Mikey. Just a quick point. You mentioned now twice about going to get more time from the powers that be that might grant more time, be it the GNSO, the board, or anyone else. And I just want to make sure that's the sense of the group. And from my perspective, I don't know if that's a good idea at this point. I'd like to see where this call goes and maybe the next one, because at some point it might not be worth it to get more time. So I just want to leave that as a placeholder to make sure that we don't take that as a given that we should be asking for more time.
Oh, that's a good thought. I'll pick that one, and let's circle back around to that at the end. I think the main point that I want to make with that is that this is not a self-imposed deadline. You know, sometimes project leader types like me will sort of create artificial time pressure in order to get stuff done, and I mostly want to make it clear that that's not the case, that we're really working against sort of external events and then working backwards from those. And to the extent that some of those external events are perhaps not as demanding as I thought they were, I would hate to run you through a bunch of hoops unnecessarily. But the point's a good one, and we should save that one for the end. John, if I don't circle back to that one at the end of the call, could you remind us of that?
Absolutely. Thanks.
Okay. Okay. So then let's roll on to the fifth page, because this is sort of the pictorial page, and Mikey's a picture guy. I'm going to just change the scale of this just a little bit so that the whole thing fits. Here's the thought. The thought is that previous page where we have three proposals side by side, and by three I mean
thank you.
DAG 4 and then the other two. And someone needs to write up DAG 4 in this format so that we've got it there for comparison. Our original thought is the first poll, which is the one that winds up with the levels of consensus, which says we would go through each of the rows of this matrix, if you will, and we would determine which parts of it we have consensus on, in which degree. And those four levels of consensus are out of the GNSO, those are the GNSO definitions. So unanimous consensus, rough consensus, strong support with a significant opposition, or no consensus. The thought was always that we would find the ones around which we had consensus and boil those towards the top of the list and array them for the people who are consuming our report. We got, again, pretty enthusiastic requests for the bottom poll as well, which says who are the supporters of the various proposals. How does that lay out? I don't think that that's actionable. I think it's really just interest on the part of the people who are reading our document. And so my thought was to go ahead and do both polls, but that the real core of the thing would be in that first part of the report, where we can go back to the GNSO and the board and say, here are the atoms around which we do indeed have very strong consensus. And I think that's really what Roberto's most recent post to the list is all about, is finding those and starting that conversation. And, you know, the trick is that if you go back to that detailed schedule, we really only have about a week to put that together. And so as a result, the thought I have is that the people who were essentially sort of the editorial stewards of each of those two proposals that started on Saturday and evolved during the week should continue on being editorial stewards and develop those two columns. And then we would strive mightily to work the minority viewpoints that have not yet been reflected in those two into them somehow, or provide them a place to express their minority view, atom by atom, not report by report. Because I really think that the key dimension of this is the atoms dimension, not the total proposal dimension. And that's kind of it. The last one is just sort of the last page is really just saying for each atom we really ought to come up with a description of what the issue is, or the atom, what the proposal is, and then pros and cons on both sides. So that's sort of the approach. Now if you roll back to the detailed page, you can see that this is a very tight schedule. And that's
you got
the
hands up, Mikey.
Yeah, I know. I'm just wrapping up, and then I'll take the hands in the queue. So anyway, maybe that's enough. Amadeo, go ahead.
Okay, just on this procedure, I'm not sure why we need to have a column for DAC 4. We are not the DAC drafting team. So our role is not to see how we compare with the DAC, but to come with a consensus. And furthermore, we know that what's now in DAC 4 is how it's called out, the nuclear bomb threat, more than a real basis for discussion. So I would say that probably this is not a good idea. The second thing regarding this is that we suggest that instead of DAC, you say we add other directly. I explain why. We should go by, you know, harm or atom, as you say, or option, and list there, you know, mechanism in proposal A, mechanism in proposal B, and probably we could already start adding other mechanisms that have not been put in a complete proposal on the table. For instance, CORE itself has some proposals, but we prefer not to pollute the list somehow, but try to negotiate with the proposals to see whether they could incorporate that instead of having complete alternative proposals all the time. Now, the final suggestion is that I've seen, talking to the different groups, that sometimes there is agreement on the mechanism but not on the conditions. So we should also list that. For instance, yes, control or ownership separation. But somebody says, yes, but 15 is ridiculous. So one thing is the principle, the other one is the implementation of that principle, the concrete conditions, and perhaps we should add, separate for each one, you know, the basic thing, and probably we'll have larger consensus, and the implementation, the concrete implementation of, you know, what's a single use or single registrar exception, where probably there are different views, while in the principle probably we'll have more agreement.
Okay, let me make sure I've got those, because I liked them all. There's a need for calling out principle versus
implementation of those principles or details or conditions. Call it, you know, English speakers, come with a good name for that, please.
Yeah. I like both of those. And I got the one about DAG 4. The middle one, refresh me on that.
The middle one is that for the different atoms, perhaps we should open directly the spot for proposals who are not in the two main proposals yet. Okay? It might be good ideas that have not been articulated in a complete proposal to address, you know, some specific harm about, I don't know, front running or market power or whatever in the list of atoms we have, but which is not a complete proposal, and perhaps we shouldn't wait to list that as, you know, proposed solution, and then we will measure the level of support for each mechanism to solve those issues.
So to make sure I understand that one, what you're
Sorry, DAC for Proposal A, Proposal B, just put Proposal A, Proposal B, other proposals that I guess would be empty for many of them, and sometimes you will have one or more ideas that has not been articulated in a complete proposal yet.
Okay, so another column.
Yes.
One more column called Other Proposals.
Yes.
Yeah, okay, I get that. Let me give you the rationale for the DAG 4 column. We were asked for a sense of the group, the group's reaction to the DAG 4 proposal. In other words, we were asked to assess the level of support within the working group for DAG 4. And that's the reason that I put it in, is so that we can essentially poll the group and determine which people in the group are, in fact, enthusiastic supporters of parts of DAG 4. So that's the reason to call it out, is so that we've got the essentially the ability to compare by atom our proposals with those of DAG 4. And so... just to give an example that I was asked specifically, somebody asked me to whether we would be able to describe the level of support for the 2% ownership criterion in DAG 4 today. And with this approach, we would be able to do that. We would essentially have a poll that would say how many people like that percentage. So with your permission, I'd like to leave it in. I agree we don't need to write a proposal about that. We just need to document DAG 4's...
I withdraw my objection. You have a very good argument on that one.
Okay, thanks. I like the idea of another column for other proposal, and I also like the idea of the principle versus implementation and... Let's put those as tentatively in the mix, and we'll figure out how that happens as we go. I think those are both great ideas. Ron, you're next.
Thanks, Mikey. I have to say I'm getting a little bit uncomfortable with this what's being proposed. As we talked on the last two-hour meeting on the Thursday in Brussels, it was quite clear that myself and others in the room were not interested in sending to the board, punting all of our hard work, our calls and our time and our efforts and our list presentations to the board with a list that they can select from as a menu. This is not about providing Proposal A, Proposal B, figure out what you want. They have not been privy to the hours of time that we've spent and invested in trying to get this dialogue correct. So what you're suggesting now is actually, as I see it, and please correct me if I'm wrong, 100% contrary to what we said in Brussels.
To quote that old line, I'm glad you asked that question, because that's not the intent. If you roll down to the, let me get to the right page over here, the little diagram on page 5, the thought is that the operant recommendation, so the recommendation we will make, is the first half, the top half of that report findings list. And basically what it would say is, here are the recommendations arrayed by the degree of consensus, ranging all the way from 100% unanimous consensus down to no consensus at all. And those are the recommendations, if you will, that would be the result of the working group. The only reason that we have the two proposals side by side is because, you know, they would not be a recommendation. This is essentially not a vote on one proposal or the other. Majority rules, nor is it a restaurant menu for the board to choose from, because the folks on the board that I spoke with, and I think you know lots of others have you have too, the board is really not interested at all in having a recommendation come to us in the form of a menu that they get to choose. They want a choice already made that they can then affirm. And in fact, I think that there are voting thresholds for them to overturn a recommendation that comes out of the GNSO, and that's really what they want. The reason for the two proposals is because we're quite far apart, and if we don't, you know, this is basically a mechanism to get us unstuck from being so far apart that we basically throw down our tools and say, we're done, we can't come up with anything, which I don't think anybody's interested in.
I would agree with that. I'm sorry, yeah. If you have something more to say?
No, that's it.
No, I would agree with that point of view, that no one wants to throw up their hands and say we never got there. But at the end of the day, what we were tasked to do was quite specific in our charter, and I think we need to show where we have consensus, rough consensus, strong support with significant opposition, or no consensus with regard to that. I think sending back consensus on atoms that we unilaterally decided along the way to give that information to the board, that's not what we were tasked to do. So I'm not comfortable necessarily going down this path.
You know, I'm still in the fluid mode. Is there a path that would work better? I mean, you know, this is sort of my best try, but it's just mine. I'm happy to change it.
If I may interrupt, I think that one thing is we need to measure to have some idea about where we are. Another question is whether we are sending the menu or not. So I don't think that Mikey's proposal is incompatible with our general agreement that we shouldn't send a general menu, which doesn't mean that we can serve dishes and ask whether you want that medium rare or well cooked. That is, as the example I put before, we may agree on cross ownership and say, well, you know, most people agree on 15%, but other people think that should be lower. I don't think that this is offering a menu. It's simply reflecting that there is general agreement, but not complete agreement on all the details. And this is...
there's a queue, right?
Yeah, I do need to pay attention to the queue
every
day off.
So can you add me to the queue? This is Avery. I'm not online.
Sure. You'll be after Tim.
So just to finish then, this, as Ron here, I think that, you know, in response a little bit to Amadeo, one thing is a report, another thing is findings. One thing is for us to be working on a document for our internal use that we will then turn into a report, and the other is for us to be giving responses to every atom and where we stood on those various consensus. That's consensus. That's the issue I'm bringing out. So I agree. The working document's very healthy for us, but let's make sure what we title that working document. Thank you.
Yeah, I agree. Keith, go ahead.
Hey, thanks, Mikey. I just wanted to make sure I heard what I think I heard you say, and to make sure that it's clear. And it follows one of the messages that I posted to the board earlier, is that I think I heard you say that the two options that we're working to, you know, sort of fine-tune at this point are the two options that were discussed at the Saturday meeting in Brussels, and not necessarily the options or the proposals or the positions that went into Brussels. Is that correct?
Yeah. You know, that was... I meant to reply to you on the list, Keith. I'm sorry, I forgot. But
okay,
my presumption is that we took the proposals apart and rebuilt them into two major threads that then went the rest of the way through Brussels, and it's those two threads, not the proposals that preceded them.
Okay, sounds good, and I support that, so thank you.
Thank you. Alan, go ahead.
Yeah, several things. First of all, saying that the board doesn't want to make policy is a fact. That doesn't alter the fact that they may well if we don't come to closure. So what they want and what they will do to get the GTLDs released may be two very different things. It's unclear from your diagram whether multiple votes are allowed for any given participant. And I would generally say no, except that if you're going to allow, if you're going to include the applicant guidebook 4 in that list, I think one needs to be able to say, I could live with the applicant guidebook, but here's my other preference. So you need to be clear about whether multiple votes are allowed and to what extent they are. And the third one is, I'm a little bit confused about the statement about the two proposals that came out of Brussels. Maybe there was an email that I missed. I saw the two proposals that were summarized, the outcomes of two working groups that were summarized. I think Richard summarized them. That was a partial summary for one. That was a full summary for his working group, a partial one for Gray's. But my recollection is there was a third working group that I never saw a summary of. So are we talking about those summaries as the new proposals, or is there something I missed?
No, those are the two. The third working group didn't come to consensus, and as a result, I think Richard tried to incorporate their views into his summary. But in terms of which are the two, it's the two that we were talking about in Brussels, not the two
As I read them, they were rather close. So I think we need to, before we vote on them, we need to have a concise statement of exactly what it is in each of those proposals.
Right. Well, and that's essentially the next week in this very short interval plan, is to construct those two things.
I may have read them incorrectly, but they looked awful close to each other to me.
Okay.
Hey, Mikey, this is Keith. Sorry, but maybe just to level set on this, maybe you could resend to the list both of the those summaries of the two groups that reached consensus.
I can do that. I'm writing myself a little action item as we speak. Tim.
Yeah, that's I'm concerned about two of these so-called two threads or modified proposals. I mean, I wasn't involved in that activity because I couldn't be. I know others weren't involved because they couldn't be for various reasons. So the groups that worked on those were not necessarily representative of the proposal, original proposal group. I don't know. I guess I'll take a look when you resend that again. But I haven't agreed or moved in my position at all in regards to the RAC proposal. And to my understanding, neither have any of the other signatories to it. Now, if that's not true and some have, then I guess that's fine. But I'm certain, I know there's a few that have not. I'm not comfortable saying, well, you know, the RAC proposal is off the table now and we're going to go with these things that were kind of merged or melded together in some fashion in Brussels. And that just seems to me like an attempt to kind of obfuscate everything and try to push things artificially to some sort of consensus. I don't want to see that happen, and I have no idea even what went on in those groups. I just can't fathom that we're going to take these as the new starting point, and the proposals that have been done up to this to date are just off the table without the proposers agreeing that they're off the table. Because we're all a part of this working group, and without that agreement, I don't see how that can be done.
I may be confused, but I thought that one of the two threads that was working its way through Brussels was the RAC proposal. So to the extent that that's not the case...
Well, that's the whole point, Mikey. I don't know, because I wasn't involved in any of those working groups.
Yeah, but
I had council things through the whole meeting, so I have no idea what went on. I wasn't able to keep as close watch on
right.
as I would like to have.
No, I understand. I guess what I'm appealing to some of the other members of the RAC group to help me out there is whether one of those proposals is indeed that one. If not, we may need to add a column. Because I think Tim's point is well taken. But you know,
Mike Ballin, I think the proposal from Richard Tindall's group was very similar, except that it talked about single registrant exception, but said it probably isn't needed because the contract could be modified to handle it. I think that was the case, but I'm not 100% sure.
That's not the case, Alan.
Okay.
Okay. Well, then maybe we run up against the rock of that one. I was under a misimpression there.
Am I next?
You are next, Aubrey. Go ahead.
Okay, I actually liked your proposal. It may be rather late to say that, but I only got in the queue now. And I think that you know, we do have bunches of proposals that come in different forms, whether they're the nuclear, you know, models or the racks and whatever, that have gotten fairly bunker mentalities about them. And I think that your approach, where you took the atoms, you broke it down into topics, and now taking those atoms, seeing where people fall, discussing them, finding out on each of those where a consensus point lies or doesn't lie, and building what is essentially a hybrid proposal out of those atoms without any of the bunkers of N people signed on for this, and M people signed off for that, and yeah, P signed off for that one, but that one wasn't very good, so, you know, because it wasn't complete. So the N and the M are really the two that count, and so on and so forth, and really get down to the nitty-gritty. Something that Amadeo was sort of saying is look at each of these atoms, figure out where we are on them, figure out if there are compromise points on each one, and move from there. Otherwise, I don't see where another week is going to get us out of our bunker mentalities. Thanks.
Mikey, it's Ken Stubbs. I'm traveling. I just want to make sure I'm still in the queue.
Yes, you are. Actually, you're next.
Okay, fine. I have a couple of comments to make. First of all, I appreciate where we're trying to go. At the same point in time, after the meeting in Brussels, I was left with, in many ways, somewhat more confused than I was beforehand. Let me go through a couple of things. Number one, let's talk about compliance. And let's also talk about what the board has the ability to do. Unless these proposals come up to the board through the council with a supermajority position, represented by at least former board member, two of them here who can tell us that. If it's a supermajority position, then the board naturally has to have a much higher vote to overturn it. If that's the case, the board could elect to take the proposals and adopt an entirely different compliance. And that's what has me concerned. I have heard discussions, you know, like it or not, we talk in the halls. I've heard board members talking about third-party enforcement. It's very difficult to come up with a plan when you don't know what kind of environment we're operating in. Suppose for the hell of it we suddenly found out that they were going to amend contracts and make them three-year contracts. It might entirely change the way that these proposals are being prepared. We still need clarity from ICANN on compliance before we can move forward with the assumption that this atom or that atom or this proposal would work. If they're not willing to make that kind of a commitment because they're concerned about the cost of compliance or the work or something like that, how in God's green earth can we get clarity on proposals? Because it's a critical issue to a lot of the members of the group that I've been involved with from day one. Thank you.
Thanks, Ken. Keith, is your hand left up from before, or is that a new one? Because if it's new, I skipped you.
No, sorry, it's left up from before. I got it.
Okay, thanks. Milton.
Hello. Aubrey said some of the things I want to say, and it was very surprising because she's not on the list. So she kind of came down out of the sky, I guess, and just suddenly started talking. But anyway.
She asked to be in the queue because she's traveling.
Oh, okay, good, good. Yeah, I'm kind of responding to Tim's remarks about RAC not being off the table. I guess nothing is really off the table unless the proposers say it is, but there's kind of a disappointing aspect to this statement in the sense that the reason we got together and started dropping talk of the original six or seven proposals and talking about Adams was that it was very clear that none of the existing proposals, including RAC, which, you know, sort of came in third in our poll, had anything near consensus. So Avery referred to a bunker mentality, and I think that's what we have to get out of here. We have to recognize that if these original proposals don't have anything near consensus, which they don't, that people are going to have to make compromises, and B, we're going to have to assemble a new proposal out of some kind of negotiation over component parts, and people have to decide which positions on these components are more important and which are less important. In that regard, I just have also a different comment about the list of atoms, the so-called starter kit that's up here on the slide.
Yeah, that's purely mine. I hold no editorial pride at all.
Well, my comment is just that I understand why options are up there. In terms of harms, I think harms are not, at this stage, something we can pretty much identify and make part of a proposal. A harm is a consequence of a proposal, or a failure to address a harm is a consequence of a proposal, but I think we need to be talking about the things you identify as options, and the harms are kind of in the background is what we see driving our choice of options. I don't want to get bogged down in it, you know, this harm will happen or that harm won't happen. I would rather have a discussion of, for example, you know, how does ownership percentage limitations affect a harm? How does control, you know, regulation or non-regulation produce a harm or not produce a harm? That's all I have to say.
The harms one I stuck in there mostly because it seemed to me useful for us to talk about why we're proposing whatever we're proposing, and that might be a vehicle to do that. But I don't have strong opinions one way or the other.
Yeah, harms will be adduced. Harms will be put forward as reasons for or against specific options. But what we're really debating at this stage, I hope, is options rather than and trying to come agreement around a particular subset of them, right?
Yeah, absolutely. Tim, I think. Oh, hang on a minute, Tim.
Yeah,
Ken,
yeah.
Is your hand left up from before, or is that a new one? Ken,
yeah, it's kind of a new one. But why don't you put me down at the list behind some people?
Okay,
who,
Tim, and then
be
sure
you
can go.
Ken, help me, please.
Tim.
Okay. Yeah, you know if. My whole question about the Adams thing, and I was in the, I guess it was in the Thursday wrap up, but I'm just really confused. So I'm not, you know, trying to just throw a wrench in this for the sake of throwing a wrench in it. I just want to make sure that what we decide as a baseline, I think in the chat, Keith kind of put it really well, that, you know, whether it's this or that, but to make sure that we're in agreement, that everybody's in agreement, that we don't assume that there's agreement, especially amongst the proposers who had proposals up on the table, which I think probably most of us. But I think that needs to be taken into consideration if we're going to, you know, strike out on a new baseline. But just a couple other comments about that. You know, the bunker mentality thing is, you well, call it what you want. I don't care what label you put on it. The point is, at least for GoDaddy, is we spent a year and a half, you know, coming to the position we did. We haven't heard anything new or different. So to change our view of position for the sake of just changing it, just so that we can say, well, we compromised or we came to consensus, that doesn't make any sense to me. I don't see how that really, you know, gets policy that is a true consensus of what the community views. If you know, principles are compromised simply because, or simply for the sake of getting to consensus. And so that's not something we're going to do. If something new or something significant comes along or changes or indicates a need for a different view, then fine. But so far we haven't heard one. So call it what you want. You know, we've taken a long time coming to the position. It's not arbitrary thing. And so, you know, it's going to take a lot to change it. And if that's a Booker mentality, then I guess that's what it is. But and the other thing that I get concerned about with the breaking down of the atoms thing is that, you know, so if, you know, maybe we can say, well, yeah, we would agree with this atom under condition X, Y, and Z. You know, is that going to be allowed for? Because as we said very early on, you know, when we started looking at this thing in the matrix, that, you know, there's this idea, well, look, it looks like we all have a consensus on 15%, but, you know, many people raised their hands and said, no, wait a minute. You know, my agreement on 15% is based on these conditions, and someone else's agreement on 50% was based on other conditions. So I don't want to lose that in the translation here. Again, just trying to, you know, guide things into some sort of thing we can call consensus, whether it really is or not.
Thanks, Tim. We also always need to be reminded that no consensus is a perfectly valid outcome for a consensus-based process. One of the reasons the consensus is different than the Robert's Rules of Order voting kind of thing is that it's in fact an important and cherished outcome of a consensus process to not arrive at consensus. Whereas Robert's Rules of Order in voting has a tendency to always come to a decision and,
yes,
in many cases, leave the minority unheard. And so I would gently discourage people from terms like bunker mentality. There are situations where very strongly held beliefs are not moved by a conversation, and it's perfectly valid and important in a consensus process that those positions be honored. I also the second point that Tim made, I think, is also an important one, which is that these atoms cannot be taken sometimes in isolation, and that is one danger of this particular approach. My hope is that what would happen is that we would come to a series of strong consensus or unanimous consensus and rough consensus atoms that, when put together, made sense. But it's entirely possible that when we do sort of the reality check on those, they don't. And so we are solving a very, very complicated problem here. And it's not for lack of trying. It's not for lack of goodwill. It's not bad faith. It's just hard. And in some cases, there is not consensus. So it's a little rant, and I'll leave off the ranting. Ken, I think you're next. If you want to go.
Yeah, Mike, yeah, I do. Hold on for a second. I'm going to kind of say a couple things that are support of what Tim said. When we came into the meeting in Brussels, the first thing I heard in the president's opening speech was that he had suddenly been made aware of the fact that compliance was a major concern, and that he wanted to address that. And I guess what I'm really saying is that compliance has not been is not suddenly a concern, but one that's been a continuing concern in the community now for about the last 8 years. It's very difficult to operate in an environment where there's no predictability. And when I talk about predictability, you're talking about the ability to enforce these contracts that we're talking about creating structures around. And so far, all I've gotten from ICANN is one sentence from the chairman and a bunch of conflicting statements and comments on the side from other board members. So, as Tim has indicated, you know, it's very, very difficult to know what direction to move when you don't have this environment that allows you to at least have some predictability for an action that they're asking you to take. And until we see some sort of element of predictability, it's very difficult for us to come up with any other approach to dealing with the solutions that you're asking us to have to create at this point in time. I'm not being stubborn. I'm just asking ICANN, you know, what the hell do you expect us to do? Because there's no guarantee that what we ask you or what we suggest you, you're even going to take. There are so many issues, you know, if this gets kicked to the council and the council decides that they don't like the approach or that they're not going to have a consensus, we go right back to the board doing whatever the hell they want to do. Everybody on this call knows that's the truth. If I'm wrong, then I would very much appreciate Roberto or Amadeo telling me that the bylaws that are there bind ICANN's board to create a process that's consistent all the way down the line with the suggestions or recommendations that have been made. So far, they haven't. They went ahead and changed their approach to dealing with vertical integration in the DAG, primarily to try to get us to give them something. And yet, all I've heard from the board members is, we don't want an option. We want you to tell us what to do. Now, they know damn well that the odds are close to slim and none at this point in time that they're going to get a majority consensus position from the council telling them exactly what they have to do. And if I'm wrong, if I'm being too entrenched here, I should be more idealistic. I apologize. Thank you.
Thanks, Ken. I'm not going to do it now, but I am going to give the... Let's see, is Dave Giza on the call? No. That's too bad. I was going to throw the ball to Dave for a minute. Well, never mind. Back to the queue. I'm not sure who's...
Tim Nate, and Jeff.
Is it Tim next, or is it you next, Cheryl?
It's Tim, then me, then Jeff. Oh, no, Tim's retreated.
No, I think not. I think you're next.
I'm bound out. I'm staying on the call. Oh,
Tim.
Okay.
we don't want to see you bow out. Okay, having listened to a great deal of conversation at a very early hour and only on one cup of coffee, I'm going to make a plea to the chairs. But before I make a plea to the chairs, I'm going to make a statement. The views that I brought into this process and indeed to the amount of work I was able to attend at Brussels, and I think it was extremely valuable, informative and forward-thinking work that did go on in Brussels. So those of us who were not able to be involved in all of it, or indeed any of it in the case of Tim's situation, I think need to have an ability to be brought up to speed and to have a shared knowledge and understanding, which will bring me to my plea to the chairs in a minute. What we, as in at large, the end users in the system, are concerned about is risk minimisation and risk assessment. And we're not living in such a utopian dream that we believe harms will not happen and that all will be good with or without any particular percentages, promises or otherwise. We are continued and have made calls in our reports to ICANN to be deeply concerned about the matters of compliance. And in the conversations that we had as we were analysing the atoms in the work group that I was able to be involved with, which I think is important to note, mixed the proponents of the proposals that were pre-Brussels rather nicely. So here's plea one, and that is, could we have made public to the list how we were divvied up into our work groups for the face-to-face Brussels activity, because some of that information is very important. For example, Tim could see what RAC proponents versus what other proponents were mixed with what other blends, and therefore what outcomes might be drawn, would have had what inputs and what discussions, who were saying what, so that it's a very useful piece of information I think we're missing to share. We also were, at least in the work group I was in, constantly having what we said limited by the, if we agree with this, then we are concerned about that. In other words, frequently we were saying we can come to a point where the majority in the group saw this as a viable option, but it was tethered with a consequence. And in some cases, it was tethered with a consequence which was specifically compliance-linked. So I would like to see then from the chairs that we have a more complete analysis and reporting of what happened in the Brussels face-to-face meetings in our analysis of the atoms. I thought we were actually closer to building molecules at the end of that, and certainly my group were happy with putting a rough molecule together and a free radical, which was absolutely tied to compliance issues. I just think we need to share a little bit more information and have a less assumed knowledge and more actual facts to deal with. Thank you.
Thanks, Cheryl. I can answer one of those two fairly quickly, and the other one I have to scratch my head about. The second one is harder.
Yep, didn't think it was easy.
One, no, I get that. I'm the one that did the original compositions of the lists, and the way that I did it for putting those teams together, and I did it based on the first of the two consensus polls, the one in Doodle that had the three choices. And basically what I did is I made five groups, and I made sure that the groups had even representation from the three major proposals. Unfortunately, or fortunately, as the case may be, when the actual meeting kicked off, there was a scramble, and what we saw was a mixing of the mixing. And so coming up with the process that arrived at the final three groups is, there's a miracle that happened in the middle of that. I think what we could do is we could identify who was in each of the three groups, but I'm not sure that there was actual method in getting from five to three.
Nothing wrong with the serendipitous process. I'm interested in what the actual outcomes were, and I certainly thought that the group I was involved in was very well balanced, scarily so, and that to some extent forced extremely profitable discussion.
Yeah. No, I think that's right. The second half, what we have is the documentation in the form of the flip chart pages that people produced. I don't think that anybody outside of one of those groups, though, could summarize the position. Certainly Roberto and I can't, because we were floating back and forth between the groups and trying to get another room and so on and so forth. And so I would be very reluctant for one of us to do that. That was the reason that I was so enthused when Richard and Keith did their summaries, and maybe what we should do is somehow double that back on groups. But for me to summarize them would be a difficult thing, just because I wasn't there. I don't know exactly how to handle that one, Cheryl. If the groups would like to do it, that they would be the folks with the most knowledge, for sure, because they were in it. And and effectively, that's not a real good answer, but that's what I've got for you.
I typed the response, Mikey, because I put my hand down.
Oh, okay. Yeah, I'm thinking that the second version, Cheryl, the reports from the group, is more feasible. I'm not sure that it's necessarily great, but we didn't have good recorders in place to actually capture the process, except for the folks that were in the groups. So I think that might be the way we need to proceed. Jeff, you're next.
Thanks. I'm going to bring up a same point or a similar one that I brought up on the last day when we were meeting. That is that there's a lot of platitudes and vague generalizations that are being kind of thrown out by people saying, well, compliance is a concern of ours, therefore, you know, whatever it is. If we are to continue meeting as a group and if we are going to make any progress, then what people have to do is kind of throw those vague notions to the side for a moment and try to get down into the details as to what would satisfy them. So in other words, if compliance is truly an issue, and I believe that's an issue for all of us, no matter which proposal we support, then you need to get down to the details. So what would satisfy you? Would, you know, Ken, would $10 million pledged by ICANN, I'm making this up, to spend only on enforcement of this one issue, would that satisfy you? Would disclosure requirements satisfy you? Would reporting requirements, would audits, would, you know, you've got to get down to the details. Until people get moved down from the 50,000-foot level to, you know, sea level, then we're just not going to make any progress. And this call has been a little disheartening for me because I don't see us getting to a place where we can reach consensus. And, again, that's not saying we failed, but it's just saying I'm not sure we should ask for any more time because I think it's just going to be more discussions like this. And, B, you know, people are, I'm not going to call it bunker mentalities, but until people are willing to throw some of the general statements away and actually deep dive, like I think our group had done on compliance, we came up with a bunch of good factors that's out there. Until people are willing to do that, then I'm not sure we're make progress. And that's what's a little sad to me.
You know, just remember that not consensus is not bad. You know,
Mikey, that's my point. It's not bad. It's not good. It's disheartening. That's my own, you know, feeling. I can feel an emotion.
Yep.
But what I'm saying, right? What I'm saying is that we shouldn't. If right now we don't feel like there's a point where we're going to make any progress, then we shouldn't be asking for more time, and we shouldn't be rushing to get all these calls in, because it seems like every discussion we've had for the past four or five times has been always the same. So if that's it, then I think we are kind of at a deadlock here.
Well, one of the, and I will get to the rest of the queue, but one of the outcomes of consensus process is we can't come to consensus because we need more information. And you know, one of the contradictions in our charter is that we will not delay new GTLDs. But we're sort of up against a rock and a hard place because I think that the point that Ken is raising is we need more information about what the compliance configuration will look like. And, you know, I do agree with you, Jeff, that, you know, we could probably help ICANN by describing that. But all of that will take more time than we have available. And so it seems to me that this is indeed a consensus outcome, a consensus process outcome, which is we are uncomfortable making choices with the information that we have available today. And, you know, it's entirely feasible in my mind that we would come to a place where we say we don't have consensus, and here are the kinds of information that we need to develop before we can, as a perfectly valid approach to this. But, you know, this is not a bad thing, and this is something that we've worked really hard, and you shouldn't feel badly if we don't come to an agreement. This is a deep difference between the sort of normal majority rules approach to decision-making and consensus, is that getting to this place is a fine place in consensus decision-making. Happens all the time. So, off my soapbox. Alan, go ahead.
Yeah, 3 points. On consensus and whether it's bad that we're not reaching it or good, that depends on your viewpoint of whether you think the DAG4 or whatever the board will alter it to in the final go-round is something likely to be acceptable to you or not. If it is, then no consensus is fine. If you think that's not a good solution, whatever it may be, then, you know, no consensus is a very bad thing. I'm rather disheartened about all the, I'll use the strong word, name-calling, and the generalizations that have been tossed out on this call and on the chat. You know, trying to label people and characterize them in ways that I think are not likely to lead to any success in this process, and somehow we have to curb that. And the last item is on consensus, on compliance. Someone pointed out, in the Thursday meeting, that the CEO of ICANN or the board of ICANN saying, trust us, we will do compliance well, is not the same as actually doing it for time immemorial. And that's rather worrisome. It was rather instructive when we were having the discussion about compliance in the Thursday meeting, looking at David Giza and seeing when he was nodding his head and not. And clearly, we're ICANN is not in a position where they have search and seizure rights, where they have a crystal ball. Compliance can only do its job if it's funded properly and if the rules are something that actually can be done in a real-world manner.
Thanks, Alan. Tim, you're next.
Thanks. Yeah, it's. I guess I won't say it's disheartening to me as well. I think maybe I'm more of a realist than many others, and I never expected that we would get to consensus on this. Maybe that's actually pessimism. I don't know. I just think this was a very difficult issue to try to come to consensus on. You know, is compliance a concern of ours and enforcement? You know, absolutely. You know, throwing money at it or whatever, you know, it's hard to say, well, if it would be this much money or this many people. You know, the fact is for us is that ICANN's history with compliance and enforcement hasn't been stellar. And now we're looking at, and has it gotten better over the last year or two? Yeah, we think it actually has. But now we're looking at a situation where not only will there be the existing, you know, many of the existing things that there are to normally, you know, comply with and enforce in registry agreements, you've got to multiply that by at least dozens, if not possibly hundreds of times, as far as the number of registries. So there's a huge, you know, issue there that ICANN needs to address, and from what I understand, they're working on that as far as staffing up to be able to deal with that. But then you have to throw into that mix a lot of other things that are going on with you know, implementation of DNSSEC and IPv6 and IDNs in the root and the rules that go along with having an IDN TLD and the new rights protection mechanisms and the things that will be coming along from the malicious conduct aspect, overarching issue that's being addressed. And what else I'm forgetting, but there's a lot of new things that are coming along that are going along with this dozens and hundreds times the current number of existing registries. And so, you know, should we be concerned about compliance? I think it should be the most frickin' important thing we need to be worried about. And the more we throw into that, the more we complicate things, the more complicated that gets. Throwing money at it isn't going to help. You know, one of the things that we were told was that, and I believe in the registrar's meeting, that, you know, enforcement is considered, you know, a contingency fundable. So, in other words, if there's an issue, they can dig into the contingency funds. Having enough money to throw at it isn't the issue. And even having enough people isn't the issue. It's the process and all the complications, and then the varying things we hear from the board that they don't want to do audits, or, you know, that they'll don't worry about compliance, it'll be there, but yet, on the other hand, keep it simple, don't get too complex. So here's these conflicting things. So to say today, you know, what's going to make us feel comfortable, I think it's only going to be experience. Let's not complicate this thing. We don't want to see, you know, vertical integration introduced in this first round. Try to keep things as conservative and as simple as possible and see where this is going to go, see what kind of compliance, you know, can be met by ICANN and things can continue to improve before we start throwing all these other issues in the mix that we all agree, no matter what we do, could be gained anyway or could cause problems. We know that. We recognize it. Why would we want to throw that in and just make things that much more complicated at this point? So now, I know not everyone's going to agree with that argument, but that's the argument. It's not just be stonewalling or unmovable or whatever. There's, you know, what we feel very valid reasons to be concerned about the compliance and enforcement issue, and it shouldn't be minimized, we don't feel, by the group.
And, you know, again, that's another version of the we're not at consensus because we need more time and we need more information, and in this case, Tim, experience. Milton.
Hello. Yes, just I think we're sort of getting into a deeper conversation about the nature of consensus policymaking and its limitations and strengths and weaknesses. And I think that needs to be addressed because, Mikey, I know with the best of intentions you're kind of characterizing things in a certain way, the lack of consensus. You're telling us it's all okay and that maybe we just need more information. And I think in many ways you're preparing the ground for what some of us would consider to be the failure of this working group. So let me just give you my take on that. If this group fails, or rather doesn't come to consensus, to put it less...
I think that's an important correction.
Okay. If this group does not come to consensus, what happens? Essentially, there's basically three options. One of them is that we leave in place a status quo, which to many of us believe is a policy that actively discourages new entry. Another possibility is that the board makes good on its promise and we get DAG 4, which most of us believe is not the optimal outcome. A third option is that the board essentially says, well, the working group has failed, so we have to make policy, so we're going to basically make policy in a top-down manner. I submit to you that all three of those options are pretty lousy, pretty bad things to be happening. And I don't know whether you can say that the lack of consensus here is a matter of information or time. I think, from the standpoint of somebody who studies policy processes and economics, I think it's very straightforwardly a reflection of conflicting interests, that different parties in the process have different interests in the way things would come out and would be hurt by some options and favored by other options. And I think it's really naive to not openly recognize that. So I go back to where I said before, which is, you know, if we're going to come to an agreement, people have to compromise. People cannot get stuck in their position and sit there and you know, like a little kid holding his breath until he turns blue and say, if I don't get what I want, to hell with all of you. We simply can't be in that position. I'm not arguing with you, Mikey. And I don't think it's appropriate for you to intervene when I express my opinion and not intervene when other people express their opinion. I'm telling you, that from my perspective, if this group can't come with a consensus on a fundamental issue regarding the things that ICANN does, the domain name industry it regulates, there's a problem. It's a problem. It's not a good thing. It's not an acceptable thing. And if we could trust the board to do precisely what it said it was and give us DAG 4, that would be bad. But as Ken Stubbs has pointed out and others have recognized, we don't even know if that will happen. It could be that the board is assaulted by lobbyists from all fronts and they just make the policy based on that kind of input. So please, Mikey, don't reassure us that we have, you know, somehow there's some light, there's some wonderful conclusion to be drawn from the fact that we can't reach consensus. In my mind, it is a failure. Thank you.
Well, let me respond since some of that was directed to me. There is a difference between consensus-based decision-making policy and other processes. And the choice was made when we were, well, long before we were launched. But the fact remains that a valid outcome of a consensus process is we can't arrive at consensus. It's not good or bad. It's not a failure. It is not, it just isn't. That's just the way consensus is. Now, if you want to step back and say and ask the question, was this perhaps not the right process to arrive at the policy? That's above my pay grade. But with the cards that we were dealt, which is that we're living in a consensus model, it's very important to defend, and I will continue to defend it right to the bitter end, the option of not getting to consensus. I am a little cautious about characterizing interests versus information. I think that steps a little bit outside the bounds of.
Oh shit!
This is Avery. Can I be put in a queue?
Sure. You're after Christina.
Okay, thanks.
Anyway, so there you go. Roberto, you're next.
Thank you. I think that the fact of not achieving consensus is neither good or bad. It's just a fact. And if we don't achieve consensus, it means that we were unable to make a sort of putting together conflicting interests, and that's just the way it is. Now, I point to, as I have said several times on in this working group and also in other occasions in my contributions in ICANN, is that we need to be able to assess what level of consensus we can achieve. So, in other words, I don't think that it will be possible for us to gather consensus on one proposal because there are for sure many elements that are where we some of the atoms will produce completely different reactions from different groups of people that have different economical interests and that are obliged to defend that economical interest because of their fiduciary relationship with the entities that are behind them. So we, on some issues, we will never be able to reach consensus, and that those are the things on which the board will have to take a decision. It's not something that can come from the consensus of the community. It will be in the need of a hard decision from the board, and it's a top-down decision. Now, we have to explore every possibility we have to have a limited consensus on limited areas. And that would be my approach. If we take it globally, is one proposal or the other, we will never get out of it. And it's not because the people who are participating in this working group are bad people, but because the people who are participating in this working group have, more often than not, a fiduciary relationship with some entity that obliges them to take certain positions because they have to act in the interest of the shareholders or whatever. So it's not going to happen on certain things. Our ability will be in being able to identify the areas in which we can have some limited consensus and bring that forward, and to make sure that at least those things are presented as consensus of the community and therefore will be included in whatever will be the general conclusion that the board will come. This is why I started in parallel some threads on subjects like can we identify this as a case of a limited consensus? What are the safeguards that we want to have in this limited case in order to be able to propose it like a consensus of the community? That could be in parallel of the other threads that are going on, something that we can propose and that we can propose as the consensus of the community. Besides that, I think that on some general items we'll have to live off the fact that the only consensus that is possible is that we have consensus on the fact that we don't have consensus.
Thanks, Roberto. Tim, I think you're next. Then Christina, then Avery. Avery's after Christina. Unless your hand is up from before, Tim.
I'm going to let you skip me for now.
Okay. Christina?
Just three very quick points. I absolutely agree with Milton's identification of the three possible options of what will happen, and based on the statements that were made in meetings that I attended, with DSG meetings, I think I feel pretty strongly that the board is not going to try and piece something together. At least that's my sense. Second, my personal view is that I think that we need to be cautious about having conditional recommendations. In other words, there's consensus around A as long as B happens. And I think that type of recommendation is likely to go forward at the board level only if it makes it through the council at a supermajority level. So to the extent that folks are trying to figure out where there might be ways to create agreement, that would just be my suggestion. Finally, I personally agree with Jeff that I think we do need to be a little bit more specific about what we're looking for compliance. I realize not everybody agrees, but to the extent that there is some interest in doing that, I don't see, frankly, why we can't just ask staff to give us a copy of whatever the current proposed compliance plan is. I mean, these TLDs were supposed to have gotten rolled out 2 years ago. I mean, certainly there's a compliance plan for what's going to happen once they do, and I think that will be instructive as a baseline for what more those who would want to see more done with compliance can identify.
Thanks, Christina. I was on mute. Sorry about that. Aubrey?
Okay, hi, thanks. Yeah, a couple, hopefully brief points. One is, I think that Mikey and Roberto and Milton, you're talking at cross purposes on consensus good or consensus problem. I think in the pure theory of consensus, Mikey and Roberto are completely right. It's neutral, neither good nor bad. From a political perspective, obviously we all look at the end result, and if there's no consensus, something happens. To some of us, that's good. To some of us, that's bad. So I think that disagreement is really because people are discussing it in very different frames of reference. I happen to be one that's not so sure that not reaching consensus is a bad thing. I tend to believe the board having, you know, and the DAG 4 and that being the way it goes, and I'm personally not offended by that solution. Be that as it may, you know, I think we should still try and reach consensus. And I think the third thing I want to add is I actually, and I'm not known for believing ICANN staff and its CEO, but I really think we should call this one. Basically, they said, tell us what you want. So I'm agreeing with Christina here. Tell us what we want. Be specific about what we want in terms of compliance and have them lay on the table how they will do it. They said, tell us what we will do. And so I guess I'm in a believing mood tonight. I believe the board's going to carry through on DAG 4. I mean, yeah, there'll probably be some tweaks to it. And I believe that staff will live up to maintaining. Now, I know there's a lot of history that I think, you know, we've got that new team in on compliance. We've got the guarantee of the CEO, who's essentially almost as good as putting his job on the line, saying, you tell us what needs to be done, and by gun, we'll do it. And so, you know, I think, you know, we spent a whole meeting talking about what we can't do and what we could do and what we may do. And if consensus is our core issue, let's put down what we think it would require and see the answer. Now, you know, not ask them, tell us what you'd do in a hypothetical case, but put it down black and white, saying this is what we would need in order to be able to move forward and see what happens. That's it. Thanks.
Mikey, this is Scott Austin. My computer is off, but could I make a brief comment? Hello?
Hello?
Sorry, I hear
was
you.
On mute. No, I was
I can hear you.
Mikey was on mute. You're next in the queue unless... Yeah, go ahead, Scott. You're on.
Yeah, Mikey, just a comment that maybe... Well, two comments. One is, you know, in the courts, we typically have decisions where there's a majority opinion and a minority opinion. I don't know, or a dissent. And perhaps that really is what's required here, given the number of different interests, and we're certainly more than nine justices. But I just think perhaps that's an alternative model, a consensus, but with a majority and a minority opinion, if you will. So I just throw that out as a possibility so that, you know, certain people don't feel they were totally disenfranchised or their opinion didn't count. The second thing is, it just seems to me that a lot of what we're talking about today has been talked about on many occasions. And I think in terms of compliance, sometimes I get the sense that some people don't want to go more deeply into rules because it could reveal the kinds of things that they're concerned that they're going to have to overcome. And I'll just leave it at that.
Yeah.
It's 3:30 my time, an hour and a half into the call. And I've got to admit that I don't exactly know where to go from here. Do people want to take a crack at... Essentially, most of the points that were made today on the call could fit into the little process that I laid out with some shoehorning. And my inclination would be to go ahead and do that, but I am not sure where the rest of you all stand on that. my presumption would be that there's some things to iron out in terms of sort of what the columns are, but it seems to me that some phoning tomorrow could get that resolved, especially between the sort of Rack 4 versus Brussels things. It seems to me that there are points of very strong agreement around consensus, et cetera, that we could identify. And, you know, maybe the thing to do is not to struggle with all the things we disagree about, but focus in on the things we do agree about. But I'm a little bit at a loss as to where to take us from here, especially given the limited amount of time. So we're at the end of the time for the call, and I'm happy to stay on, but I assume that some of you have to drop off at this point. So I don't know what to do. Any thoughts? Carry on with this little scheme? If so, I'll work hard tomorrow to get that to happen.
I support that.
I think we're at the end. We've worn ourselves out. Let's take this to the list.
Hey, Mike. Sorry, this is Keith. Could I just one last quick point? I think earlier in the call or at the beginning of the call, you mentioned that you would be able to address to the group sort of like where the lines are to be drawn in terms of what constitutes consensus and what the definitions of a small minority or most are. And I'm not saying we need to do that on this call right now, but I think it would be very helpful for all of us to sort of understand, you know, where the lines are going to be drawn, even at an atomic level. You know, if we're just looking at the atoms and not the proposals, we need to know what constitutes consensus and where those lines are drawn. Because until we have that, we won't be able to count votes, and it'll always be a moving target.
Go ahead, Aubrey. You know this.
That's the one thing that troubles me on this call is the notion of counting votes being equated to finding the consensus point. Those two are completely separate worlds. It's not a question of counting votes. Thanks.
So, Aubrey, let me come back to you and then say, well, how do we determine what consensus is in terms of the language of the GNSO procedures?
The chair calls and says, I think there's consensus, and sees how many people yell at him.
Yeah, and there are four.
And then it reiterates.
Right. But there are four tiers, too. There's, you know, that's made its way into the latest version, I think. And those are the tiers that I've got listed up on that little chart. There's unanimous consensus, where it's 100%. There's rough consensus, which is the one that the chairs call. There's strong support with significant opposition, which, again, there's a gray area between those two. And then there's no consensus. And in terms of percentages, those really are sort of left to the chairs. But, you know, in the GNSO language, you know, an example of rough consensus would be, you know, a very strong tilt, like 90%. A strong support with significant opposition would be 70%, 30%. And no consensus is, you know, 60-40, et cetera, things like that.
Okay, well, I think that's helpful because that's not information that I think, you know, at least I certainly haven't had the benefit of to date. And I think it's important for all of us to sort of keep that in mind as we're trying to, you know, as we're in the end game here.
Yeah, I thought we had Marika circulate those to the list, but I'll...
This is Aubrey again. I think it's in the guidelines that are the part of the charter of the group.
Yes, it is, Avery.
So,
okay, I apologize then.
No worries. Why don't we carry on with the scheme that is laid out?
Mike, this is John. One final point, if I may. You asked me to remind.
Go ahead.
Yep, you asked me to remind you about the going and getting more time or not, of what the sense of the group was.
Yeah, let's talk that one through real quickly. My presumption would be that if I could buy us a week or two, a week is probably all I can buy. That would be helpful, since basically the way this schedule lays out, we have to have those columns written by a week from today so that we can poll on them over that weekend and start identifying the areas around which we have consensus a week from Monday. That's pretty brisk in terms of people drafting things, talking to each other, negotiating, etc. And so my presumption is that some more time to do that would be useful. But I'd be interested in hearing from folks who would not want me to pursue that.
I guess my feeling is I'm not sure, you know, where we're going from here. And I know you have a plan, but We didn't talk substance at all this call. I don't think we're going to get there. So my view is, why delay the inevitable? Let's just get it done, get the report in the best shape we can get it in, and get it out to the council.
I wouldn't disagree. I think the key is that just the mechanics, even leaving the negotiation aside, just the mechanics of getting that done is pretty crushing. Basically, some groups have to form. They have to write a lot of stuff all in a week. And so I think what we have to do at this stage is carry on with the notion that we only have a week to get those columns put together. And as I say, I'll work to get us some more time. And that recognize also that we do have some negotiating time because we have a 20-day public comment period built into this schedule, which it's not prohibited that you all talk to each other, move your opinions during that time. But in terms of the mechanics of getting the report out, a week is pretty brisk. So my thought was that it might be useful to get some more time in there. But for now, I think we have to presume that the schedule that's up on the Adobe Connect wall is the schedule that we have to meet. That means that basically the small groups of people who kind of were the scribes for the various proposals are going to have to coalesce into some editorial groups to put the final versions together, so that we can array them in the matrix, so that we can find the points of consensus, so that we can hammer out.
Models. Could you please speak a little bit louder?
It's very hard to hear you.
You know, I'm just reiterating the schedule, so it doesn't matter. I think that's the way we're going to proceed, folks. I'm sorry that this is so hard. It's just hard. That's the way it is. I think with that, I'm going to draw the call to a close. We'll carry it on the list. And that's it, unless someone has final words.
Thank you.
Thanks, you all.
Thank you.
Bye.
Bye-bye.
Good night. Dan, are you still on the call?